Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Mace, you look kind of harried. What's going on, man?
The last couple of hours have been kind of whistle stop and nonstop, unexpectedly so, because I had to make a slight adjustment, or actually more than slight, based on something with my wife and her work, but I'm here.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
It's the whole team parenting thing. You know how...
Yeah, I live it.
Yes, and sometimes at the last minute, you get handed a baton that you didn't expect to get handed to you, and then you kind of have to make it work, but everything's okay now.
Good.
Everything's okay, and I'm here.
Okay. Well, I hate to throw you a curveball, but you know what we were supposed to lead with today? We're not going to. Well, time now for the lead.
I'm guessing what we're going to lead with.
Yeah, we're going to talk about your personal life.
The lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Okay, so Gary Kubiak officially retired today, although he has retired in the past. But I think this is probably it for him.
I think this is probably it for him in terms of being a full-time football executive or coach. I would not put it past Gary Kubiak to be involved in some part-time scouting, part-time player evaluation, maybe even part-time working with quarterbacks one-on-one. But as far as being a day-in, day-out part of a football organization, this feels like an it for Gary Kubiak here at age 59 after, at least for the offense, a very successful season they had with Minnesota in 2020, even though they didn't go to the playoffs, their offense was in the league's top five, kind of showing that, hey, the old guy still got it.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it's a slam dunk, but I'll put it to you this way. I think I'll be very, very surprised if he does not go into the Broncos Ring of Fame. Let's think about something here for a second. The Broncos went to six Super Bowls. Gary Kubiak was a part of all of them. They won three of those Super Bowls.
Well, they won. They've been to eight. He was part of six.
He was part of six.
Yes.
They won three. I don't know if there are many, if any, people in the history of sports that have been a player, assistant coach, head coach, and personnel executive with one franchise, the same one. Think about that. That's a real noodle scratcher to find someone who has done that.
I mean, I can think of plenty of examples of three out of four.
Well, this is four out of four.
But four out of four. Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking in multiple sports. A name that popped in my mind was Bobby Cox, who was a GM and a vice president and a coach and a manager, but never played for the Atlanta Braves. That's tough. That is, wow. I think you got me there.
Well, I'm not trying to get you.
You did. Yeah, but it's okay. It's okay. You can.
But
say
it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and you add up his time with the Broncos: 9 years as a player, 11 years as an assistant coach, 2 years as a two years as the head coach, and then two more working in personnel, work more in 2018 than in 2017. I would argue this. He should be in the Ring of Fame. The other name I would argue for is Joe Collier, who never was a head coach but was a defensive coordinator for 20 years. And I think, you know, when it's your own team Ring of Fame, you can kind of, I wouldn't say relax the standards, but you can kind of massage them a little bit. And even though Gary Kubiak only has 2 years as a head coach and was a backup quarterback his entire playing career, I think there's enough there to where he should be honored in the Ring of Fame easily.
Yeah, I have very little doubt. I talked to a couple of Broncos sources today, mm-hmm. and they believe he should go in.
Yeah.
And it would not surprise me if he does. There are lots of great stories about Gary Kubiak. You were with the Broncos organization mm-hmm. when he was there. Me being in the media here in Denver for the last 16 years, I've certainly heard plenty of stories. You want to start? I don't want to turn this into a eulogy, but I will say this. Let me just start by saying this. The Broncos do not win the Super Bowl if Gary Kubiak is not the head coach.
Well, think about...
I don't think people understand how instrumental he was with the way he dealt with the Manning-Osweiler situation, with the way he managed all of those egos on defense, with the way he treated those players like men, on how important that was to getting another Super Bowl win.
Don't forget about the mere fact that he brought in Wade Phillips, too.
He did.
And Wade Phillips, of course, was his defensive coordinator down in Houston.
Well, if John Elway had his way, it would have been whom?
It would have been Vance Joseph.
Yes, and the Broncos absolutely would not have won.
Well, don't forget, with Vance Joseph, they wanted to interview him, but the Bengals said, no, you could block a position coach from interviewing for a coordinator position at that time. And so it's an easy call for Kubiak to say, well, I got my guy, Wade Phillips. He's not really doing anything right now. And it doesn't happen without that. It doesn't happen without successfully managing the thorny quarterback situation. One of the things that I recall about that is how there are a lot of teams and a lot of coaches that would have gone into every week and said, okay, well, you know what? It might be Peyton. It might be Brock Osweiler. We're going to wait and see. Kubiak dealt with it so well. Every Monday.
Wednesday. I know where you're going. Every
Wednesday. Sometimes he was saying on Mondays. Okay. Sometimes he'd say it on Mondays. He'd come in and say, all right, just so you know, Peyton's not healthy. Not going to play this week. It's going to be Brock Osweiler. And he did that for a lot of reasons, starting with this. When you put it out there like that, yes, it means your opponent is preparing for one quarterback and not two. But what that does is it means that your players aren't having to deal with those questions.
Correct.
And all that speculation. He took it on himself, said, this is the call. This is what we're doing. And that's it. He turned something that could have been an issue that percolated into a non-issue. There was clarity, whereas I think I'd say a majority of the coaches in the NFL would not have done what Gary Kubiak did. They would have said, well, we want to prepare for both. But Kubiak understood that his own team was more important than what the other team was going
to
do.
Can I add another color to your palette of the picture you are painting of Gary Kubiak as on how he handled the situation? Because there are two things that you left out. Before he had those team meetings, he would meet with Peyton individually. He would meet with Brock individually. Then he would talk to the team. Then he would talk to the media. And he did that week after week after week. It was consistent. Everybody always knew where they stood. Everybody always knew what they were getting. I had a nice conversation with C.J. Anderson about 15 minutes ago. As some people know, he's getting ready to start coaching with Cal. And I asked him about Gary Kubiak. And I said, you know, you have any good stories about Gary? He goes, I don't know if I have great stories, but I'll tell you this. I want to coach exactly how he coached. I want to be someone who listens, who doesn't jump the gun. I want to be a player's coach, but I also want the players to understand that I understand what they're going through as a player, because Gary certainly understood what it was like to be a player because he was one.
And think about CJ saying that in particular, because what happened to CJ at midseason of that year? Remember, he started to open the season,
right?
And then he got benched. He was the second running back. Ronnie Hillman became the starting running back in the second half of the season and through the first two rounds of the playoffs. Now, the funny thing about that was when Hillman was the starter, he was less productive. Both of those guys were actually more productive as the backup. But that did, you know, CJ understood his role, and part of it, the communication between Kubiak and his assistant coaches and his players was always better than almost any other team that I've covered. He did, you know what? There wasn't any game playing going on. He just shot him straight.
Well,
told him what the deal was.
I'll give you another example of shooting straight and not game playing. So, following the then San Diego Chargers game, which was the final game of the regular season, in which Peyton replaced Brock Osweiler, as they're getting ready for the first playoff game, I think a lot of coaches would do a little gamesmanship and not announce the starter.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be Peyton? Is it going to be Brock? Kubiak announced it immediately. He's like, I need everybody on the team to know who our guy is moving forward into the playoffs. He didn't play the gamesmanship game because he wanted every guy in that locker room to know where we were. Because if he didn't make that decision and there was gamesmanship, oh, you better believe come Wednesday, every guy in that locker room would have been asked, who do you think's going to be starting? Who do you think should be starting?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I said earlier, basically. Right. He does that, and it takes the pressure off of everybody. And another story that jumps out, it's one that Brock Osweiler told in the last year or so. After that Charger game where Osweiler got pulled for Kubiak brings Osweiler.
For Manning.
For Manning. Yeah. Kubiak brings Osweiler in his office and said, look, I love you like a son. I'm so proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Osweiler starts crying, and Kubiak gives him a hug, but then points to the fridge that's in the coach's office and said, it's filled with beers. Have as many as you want.
You know what those beers are? What they were? Because he'd always have them after games. He'd always have a Bud Light. Mm-hmm. That was his drink. That was his beer of choice following game. Got to have a Bud Light. Crack open a couple of cold ones. That's how he would celebrate a win. Maybe he did it in a loss as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt, or I shouldn't say there's no doubt. There should be very little room for argument for what Gary Kubiak has done for this organization, that he should go into the Hall of Fame, the Ring of Fame, I should say.
And I would say this, even though he's retiring from day to day, if he wants to be a part-time scout or whatever,
right?
George Payton, who worked with him in Minnesota
right,
the last couple of years, George Payton would be wise to take Gary Kubiak up on that offer if that ever comes.
Would you like to know how much, just what, George Payton thinks of Gary Kubiak? So when George was in town, he went to a Mexican restaurant here in town that happens to be, from what I was told, one of Kubiak's favorite restaurants, but his favorite Mexican restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big picture of Kubiak up on the wall. And when Peyton, I believe, was leaving, he took a picture of himself in front of Gary's picture that was signed, and he sent it to Gary. That's the type of relationship that George Peyton and Gary Kubiak have.
Pretty nice.
All right, coming up after the break, we're going to talk some hockey. We're going to talk with our guy, Arif Dean, who writes for MileHighSports.com, covering the Avalanche. And boy, that blue line is stacked. We will talk about that next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. In the meantime, if you're looking for great deals on beer, wine, and spirits, you have to go to Bubbles Liquor World in Castle Rock. They always have great deals going on. And if you love scotch, you can get a 750 milliliter bottle of Lafroig. I hope I pronounced it correctly. If you drink scotch, you certainly know what it is. It's regularly $53.99. Mention you heard it on the show. It's $48.99. Also, Harkin Chardonnay, regularly $15.99. Mention you heard it on the show. It is $10.99. Great prices, great selection. That is Bubbles Liquor World in Castle Rock. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Tivoli Brewing Company, Colorado's first established brewery in 1859. Get Colorado's original beer in your local liquor store or go to Tivoli in the heart of the Orrery campus.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I want to bring in our friend Arif Dean, covers the Avalanche from MileHighSports.com. His segment is brought to you by the Row House in Greenwood Village. How are you, Arif?
I'm doing well, Eric. How about yourself?
I'm good. I have to tell you, I was a little surprised that the Avalanche traded Ian Cole for Greg Pattern. They're essentially the same guy. When you look at the salaries after the, you know, Avalanche are going to give him like $800,000, and then both guys are roughly the same age, they're both going to be unrestricted free agents. Help me understand why Sakic wanted Pattern over Ian Cole.
So this was actually a really, really interesting trade to see break down so early. I've been talking about it with my co-host and our friend JJ Jerez on our podcast for a couple weeks now, that I sort of feel like Ian Cole was starting to get phased out of this defensive core. And I had this kind of hot take, if you want to call it that, prediction that by the end of the regular season, Ian Cole would have been surpassed by one of Byram or Timmins, if not both, on the depth chart, and sort of worked his way out of the lineup, but through no fault of his own, just strictly a numbers game. So I think what Joe Sakic started to do and started to think of is the fact that he has this third pair defenseman that's eating up $4.25 million of his cap space. He's unable to be flexible enough to carry 23 roster players because of Ian Cole's $4 million, and he wanted to find a way to have that flexibility. So by trading Ian Cole for Greg Pattern, which seems like a lateral move, with the cap retention, the salary retention you were talking about, that $800K, the Avs are clearing up $1.2 million. That $1.2 million gives you the flexibility to add that 23rd roster player, to bring in Bowen Byram, even with Andre Burakovsky day-to-day and still taking up a roster spot but not playing, you're able to bring in that extra player. So I think Joe Sakic looked at it like that, looked at it as, hey, if Ian Cole's going to be a 6 or 7 or 8, why have our 6 or 7 or 8 be a $4 million guy? Let's have him be a $2 million guy. And then the very last thing, and I'm going to credit Mike Chambers at the Denver Post who wrote about this, Greg Pattern is a tough SOB.
Yep.
And he's what the Avalanche were missing from that sense. And now you can start to sort of play it in a more tactical way. When you're playing a more skilled team, like maybe Vegas, you can go out there and bring in Timmins and Byram, but when you're playing St. Louis, who's going to play a very heavy game, then hey, let's bring in Greg Pattern, let's put him in the lineup, and let's continue to rotate that defense because the Avalanche have so much depth.
Okay, so I guess, I mean, you spelled out why the Avs made the deal. Why would the Wild agree to it if they're taking on a player who's more expensive?
Because for them, they're bringing in a guy who, number one, their new GM this year, well, who was hired a little bit before the pause last year, is Bill Guerin. And Bill Guerin used to be the assistant GM in Pittsburgh, where Ian Cole won a couple of Stanley Cups. So for Bill Guerin, this is a move where it's as simple as, let me bring in a veteran who's got a couple of cup rings, who has that experience and those leadership qualities to sort of show this team the ropes, rather than having like someone like Greg Pattern, who might not have the same type of leadership qualities. So from Bill Guerin's point of view and from the Wild's point of view, they have a lot of cap space. They're not going to be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in somebody who can sort of be more of a voice in the locker room. And maybe, hey, he might end up signing a contract there at the end of the year. You never know. But it seems, obviously, the benefits are a lot stronger for the Avalanche than it is for the Wild. But, I mean, hey, you guys have been watching this team as long as I have. You know, the last 5, 6 years, the Avalanche were always in that position that Minnesota was in, where they were making trades as the lesser team with the contending team, and we'd always sit there and wonder why it was happening.
Arif, I've been watching this team longer than you've been alive.
I've been alive since 93, and I've been watching them for about 25 years or so.
If you remember them when you were 3, you are my hero. Come on, tell me the truth.
It's a weird starting story, but I actually remember when Patrick Wall was traded to the Avalanche because I lived in Ottawa at the time, and I was, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old, but I used to watch hockey with my brothers. If you told me to specifically remember a moment of it,
right,
I will not.
Okay.
But I've been around this team for quite a while, just not in Colorado.
There we go. We're talking with Eric Dean, covers the Avalanche for MileHighSports.com. Let's go back in history. Let's go back maybe 4 years. And this team had a difficult time getting 4 defensemen they were confident in to go out on the ice, right?
4 is generous.
I know, right? And now you have Taves, who is 26, Ryan Graves, who's a rugged guy at 25, Sam Girard, 22, Cale Makar, 22, Connor Timmins, 22, Bowen Byram, he's going to make his debut tonight, he's 19. Boy, what a turnaround!
Let me ask you truthfully. Did you see my tweet this morning about that?
No.
Okay, so I tweeted that, and it's kind of gone viral because of, you know, people around the NHL are seeing just how young and exciting this D-core is. Greg Patterson is going to be your number 7 defenseman, but the other 6 is exactly what you just mentioned. Without Ian Cole, who was traded, with Eric Johnson sitting today, you have your top 6 Avalanche defensemen tonight are going to be a 26-year-old Devon Taves, a 25-year-old Ryan Graves, a 22-year-old Makar, Timmins, and Girard, and a 19-year-old Bowen Byram.
Right.
It's remarkable. Yeah, it's really great what they've done. And when you look at that group of six defensemen, every single one of them is a cornerstone future piece. There's no passengers anymore. When you looked at the Avalanche defense, even a year ago, you know, 2 years ago, you had Patrick Nemeth, who, you know, was a bit of a passenger, and he sort of found his way out. Last year, you still had Nikita Zadorov, and you had Ian Cole, who, when you look at the top half of the Avalanche's D and the bottom half, there was always that drop-off. Makar and Graves was a very serviceable, great pair. Girard and Johnson was a great pair. And then from there, it just dropped. It was Cole, it was Zadorov, it was Barbario, it was Kevin Connaughton. You don't have that drop anymore. And I know I'm saying this with Bowen Byram included in there, and he hasn't played a game yet, but hey, when Bowen Byram sits, well, we're just going to bring in our veteran named Eric Johnson, who still knows a thing or two about how to be a serviceable NHL player. So it's this depth that they have now of quality defensemen that we haven't seen since, you know, the early 2000s with this team.
Is the last time Eric Johnson played 2017 or 2016? When's the last time this guy played?
He played a couple days ago, but unfortunately, he's out of the lineup again today. And I'm going to go ahead and call that a term that I put together this morning, where it's COVID load management. That's what I think it is. And I think Eric Johnson might be. He played under 12 minutes the other night, and he was good. But I think it's going to take him a minute to catch his breath coming off of a COVID diagnosis.
Now, of course, Bowen Byram, you touched on him earlier. He's going to be in the lineup tonight. 4th overall pick a couple years ago. Played well at the juniors just recently. So what can Avalanche fans reasonably expect from him now? And then what do you expect long-term?
I expect long-term he's going to be on that same trajectory as guys like Sam Girard and Cale Makar. I'm not by any means saying he's the next Cale Makar, but what we've seen from Girard, especially since that trade in 2017, which, by the way, Girard and Byram were both part of that trade. So for Matt Duchene, you got these two massively big-name defensemen and a bunch of other parts. You and I will be talking about a goalie in the near future named Justus Inninen from Finland, who will likely be the Avalanche's goalie of the future, was also acquired in that Duchene trade. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. What I would say for Bowen Byram, in the near future, he's going to be a serviceable defenseman. He's going to be a young 19-year-old, just like Girard was in that 17-18 season, who makes mistakes but has the confidence of this new-age defenseman to move the puck and really show the quality player he is. And in the future, he's going to, you know, start to make that upward trajectory to a top 2, top 3 guy. I mean, look at the game Sam Girard's playing this year. He looks so much better than he did a year ago and miles ahead of where he was 2 years ago and 3 years ago. And by the way, he's only 22 years old because he's been in the NHL for 4 years already. So it's that growth of these new-age young defensemen, that Cale Makar, that Miro Heiskanen in Dallas, Quinn Hughes, it's these new young defensemen that have this confidence to just sort of move the puck and show what they have at the pro level.
Hey, Arif, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the row house in Greenwood Village. A lot of guys like to go and lift weights, or maybe they want to take a spin class. What makes the row house in Greenwood Village even better and different than just doing that typical routine in terms of working out?
It's the fact that you're going to get a high intensity workout and a full body workout, but it's going to be low intensity. Low impact, I should say. The low impact is the biggest key seller for me. I'm 27 years old and my knees hurt, my ankles hurt, my lower back hurts. As you start to grow older, and I wasn't even a college athlete, nor was I a high school athlete, and everything hurts. So, you know, the kids that are younger than me that are playing these sports, it gets to an age where it's enough is enough. And you know, putting so much impact and damage on your body, it's okay if you want to go hiking, you want to go running, you want to lift weights. But to do it consistently 5, 6, 7 days a week is just not feasible, especially as you get older and into the real world and start to feel pain all the time in your joints. So that's the biggest seller for me for rowing. That's the biggest seller for me for the row house is you get a full body workout on the rower and off of the rower with light dumbbell work. But it's low impact, and it's going to keep you wanting to come back for more. If you're sore, it's the right kind of sore.
By the way, I've worked out there, and I can promise you it is not low intensity. Take my word for it. I am 52. It's the furthest thing from low intensity. Plus, it is a ton of fun. We only have about 30 seconds left. Are you still offering that deal where you will deliver a rowing machine to somebody's house if they want to do it virtually?
Yes, and it's a low cost. It depends on if you're on a membership or not. But hey, I mean, we're living in a world right now where not everybody wants to go out in public. So if that's what we need to do, we will bring the row house to your home.
Wow.
So we will bring the row house to your house, and you'll be able to do virtual classes. You'll still get that interaction. It'll just be virtual for now.
How do people get a hold of you? How do they find you?
Give us a call, 720-541-7040. Look us up on Google, the Row House Greenwood Village. It'll pop up our website. You can book a free class. You can call the studio at that number. You can book a free class, or you can just walk on in at the landmark at the Denver Tech Center. We're at the bottom of the East Tower between the Club Pilates and Cycle Bar.
Arif, thanks so much for your time. We will catch up with you next Thursday as Arif Dean will be talking Avalanche hockey with us every Thursday at 4:15. Thanks, Arif.
Absolutely, Eric. Thank you, guys.
All right, coming up after the break, the Detroit Lions have a new head coach, and he reminds me a little bit of Brock Olivo. Remember him? Former special teams coach of the Broncos? I'll explain why next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now. What's trending?
What's trending? Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Well, the Detroit Lions have their new head coach, Dan Campbell, and boy, did he have an interesting introductory press conference today.
This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised, and I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, but none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that, so excuse my language, all right? Here's what I do know, is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city, all right? And this city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right. It's found a way to overcome adversity. All right. And so this team's going to be built on we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap. and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right, that's going to be the mentality.
Come on, let's go! Let's go! I got a question for you. How do you bite somebody's kneecap off when you're wearing a helmet?
It's a good question. Maybe they're going to take them off. Maybe we're going back to the old days, 1950s, when we played without face masks.
Leather helmets.
Yes.
Maybe that's how he would like to play.
I think Dan Campbell is a leather helmet, no face mask kind of guy.
The last time I heard a introductory press conference like this is when Brock Olivo was introduced as the Broncos' special teams coach, and he lasted 1 year. Now, I'm not suggesting that Dan Campbell's going to last 1 year. He signed a six-year deal.
Six-year
contract. Now, there's a lot of bluster, okay? A lot of it. And from everything that I read, he's very well-liked by his players.
Mm-hmm.
Very well-liked. But being the head coach is different. And these are professional athletes. And yes, rah-rah is great for high school, and rah-rah is great for college. I don't know if it's necessarily great every single day for professional players. You know, Vince Lombardi was that way. Mm-hmm. Bill Parcells was that way. Rex Ryan was that way.
But not to that degree. The thing with Parcells was kind of interesting because he could have that kind of speech, but he was also somebody who tailored his approach to every player. He was a great student of psychology.
Correct.
To where he understood this guy needs a kick in the butt.
Correct.
This guy needs a pat around the shoulder.
Right.
And what is interesting, I think we're focused on this speech, but Dan Campbell played for Bill Parcells. And
well, there you go.
And what I'm hoping is that while he has that message for the Lions' sake and for his sake, while he has that message here, that he has learned from Parcells the ability to go into fifth gear and then pull it back into first. I mean, Parcells was really a maestro of that, of being able to kind of shift gears quickly based on what the moment demanded and what the player needed. And if Dan Campbell has that in him, then he has a very good chance to be a successful coach.
I mean, remember, this is the only experience for me I have with Dan Campbell. It's probably the only experience that you have. But if this guy is one speed, it's going to go Thelma and Louise off the cliff.
Yeah.
Because I'm really wondering how will professional players take to that. You know who was like that as well? Who had a similar type of, let's go get him, boys, was Clint Hurdle.
Yeah.
And eventually his act wore thin.
Exactly. And you know, the old cliche in football is they'd say, if you do that all the time, you're basically high school Harry. You know,
high school Harry.
Yeah. Because.
So, like, is he related to Hanukkah Harry? Although there aren't a lot of Jewish coaches in any sport. We own the teams.
Oh, come on. you own the Vikings, right? How many Jewish owners are? Ziggy, the Wilfs are Jewish, right?
Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
Probably go through them, but there's no reason to. I don't know why you're feeding the stereotype.
No, I just...
Anti-Semite.
I don't think... Oh, what? Oh, yeah. No, you're not.
It's a good thing I'm Jewish and I can take a good joke, but
exactly.
All of our Jewish listeners out there, of course, they don't listen on Friday nights because they have to turn their radios off, but Monday through Thursday, they'll hear what you're really like.
Well, it's the difference between being observant and not being observant, right? Of the Sabbath.
Correct. Yeah, you can't have electronics once the sun goes down. And you know, right now the sun will be down probably in about a half hour. But today is only Thursday. Not tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I digress.
Anyway, before we hijack that, and you made that wild accusation of me. Goodness gracious. But
you got thrown, didn't you?
I did get thrown because I was going to make a point to you about how with Dan Campbell, he's not somebody who is a tactician. In fact, if you look at his coaching resume, it's tight ends coach,
correct,
with Miami under Joe Philbin, then the interim head coach for the 20 part of 2015.
And they were 5-7 when he was the interim coach.
They were competitive. Then he goes to New Orleans, and he's the tight ends coach and also the assistant to the head coach, which I find interesting. It's the assistant or the assistant to. He was the assistant to. So he hasn't run a room larger than the tight end room. but players speak highly of him and his ability to connect.
Correct.
More than most coaches, he absolutely has to nail the coordinator hires, because what you see with Dan Campbell is somebody whose strength is clearly not kind of tactical genius, you know, analytic genius. That is not going to be where he shines. He's going to need people around him to do that, and then he can focus on the big picture, the motivation, and then if he has that Parcells in him, knowing how to relate to each player on the roster, that's going to be his focal point. So, and if he gets the right coordinators, this can work. But we're going to get into something later on where, for all that we're discussing about this, this wasn't the most interesting thing about that press conference.
Is that a tease?
That is a tease.
And we're going to talk about that at the top of the hour. In the meantime, what's coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Trevor Bauer has an interesting plan for the 2021 season. We'll talk about how likely it is that that will happen for him as he looks for a new team, still one of the high-ticket free agents out there. We'll get to that next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to GraniteLiquidators.com. If Broncos fans have any hopes whatsoever of Carson Wentz becoming available, you can forget about it. The Eagles are expected to hire the Colts offensive coordinator, and the number one priority for this new guy, Nick Sirianni. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Sirianni, yes.
Sirianni?
Or Siri for short.
There you go.
Siri, how do I help Carson Wentz?
There you go. Well, the most important thing for Sirianni is to make Carson Wentz again.
And what here's something I find interesting about Philadelphia's hiring pattern. Doug Peterson comes in after Chip Kelly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Doug Peterson was an Andy Reid guy. And Reid, of course, they let go, and he moves on to Kansas City. And so now they're done with Peterson, and so they turn to Frank Reich's lieutenant, and of course, Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator under Doug Peterson. So Philadelphia has this habit of going back to its well. They bring in a new guy like Sirianni, but he's not entirely new philosophically. They have a specific philosophy that they like, even though they get rid of Doug Peterson and they get rid of Andy Reid. They seem to know what they are and what they want. Except for like the Chip Kelly years almost look like the Josh McDaniels years with the Broncos. When you look back and say they went with a different philosophy for a few years, the Eagles, they're kind of like the Broncos. They become kind of insular in what they want.
Right. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it.
Okay, one thing I want to get to that is just breaking now. Just breaking now, I apologize. The Japanese government has privately concluded that the Tokyo Olympics will have to be canceled because of COVID. And the focus now is on securing the games for the city in the next available year, which will be 2032. And that's all I have to say.
Wow. This is it's interesting because you have that, and the IOC, Thomas Bach, the president of the IOC, responds by saying at the moment he sees no reason to believe the event won't happen, but certainly if Japan decides it's not going to have the Olympics, there's not going to be an Olympics unless they somehow move them on what is extremely short notice.
Well,
in the Olympic planning procedure.
Let me repeat the first line. Yeah. The Japanese government has privately
yes.
concluded. This has not been an official announcement. With that, I apologize. Let's do the final word all over again.
The final word. Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, free agent ace and NL Cy Young winner Trevor Bauer wants to pitch every fourth day in 2021 like they did back in the old days in the MLB. Do you think that there is a manager in baseball right now who would give him that opportunity to pitch every fourth?
Not if he wants to win. I wouldn't recommend it. Maybe Trevor will say, I want to start throwing complete games all the time. It's right up there with that. Not to mention you have five starters on a team and you are, you know, singling somebody out and saying, you know what? You got to go to the bullpen. I can't imagine that fifth starter would be too thrilled.
Well, there's one thing, though, that could come into play here, and that is if you have another season where it's compressed and you're trying to navigate double headers throughout it, there may you may not be able to say, no, you're not pitching that you're pitching every fourth day all year, but you may be able to say, when we've got these double headers and we're having to adapt our schedule, there may be plenty of opportunities for you to pitch every fourth day, so we can so maybe it saves us from having to go get a sixth starter from our AAA team. So it actually, that notion actually has more value from time to time this year than it would have in a normal season. But I don't think there's going to be a club in baseball right now who says, yeah, sure, you're going to pitch every fourth day.
Let's put something into perspective here as well. What is the benchmark for a workhorse pitcher in terms of innings pitched? What's the benchmark? What? How many innings pitched is considered this guy is our workhorse?
Over a 162-game season?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you figure the guys start making, say, 32, 33.
Can we just get to the point? 200 innings.
Ideal, yeah. Because
yeah, 200 innings.
200 innings.
Trevor Bauer's never gone more than 200 innings his whole career. The highest he's gone is 190. Then he had a bunch of seasons at about 175. I don't think he's ready for that type of workload.
Actually, he went 213 innings in 2019, pitching for the Indians and the Reds that year. Combined 213 innings.
Oh, you are correct.
And last year, 73 innings in 11 starts. So he was on pace to go north of 200 again last year.
Was on pace.
But of course, it was only
right.
A 60-game schedule. Point being, I can see based on those last 2 years. Which, oh, by the way, basically the best work of his career. I can see why he thinks, yeah, I can be that workhorse. I can do a little bit more. But I don't know that a team is going to say, yeah, go ahead and pitch every fourth day. I mean, the Rockies might be desperate enough to do that, but he's not going to come pitch for Colorado, and also the Rockies don't really have the resources to go spend on Trevor Bauer right now.
Here's something else, and I hate to dismiss what anybody did last year.
But?
Well, his ERA last year was 1.73, but over 11 starts. We didn't see that over 30 starts.
His whip was 0.79.
Whatever.
Amazing.
It was a short season.
Yeah.
Let's look at what he has done throughout his career. In 2018, his ERA was 2.21. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
No one is going to argue that. Then his next lowest ERA is over 4. So you really want to give that guy the ball every 4 days when his history suggests that his ERA is going to be over 4. I don't think so. That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, try before you buy. You can walk into any one of their stores and try out their appliances before you buy them. That's great customer service. Not to mention, their sales staff, the most experienced in all of Colorado, looking to upfit your kitchen, do something great. You need to go with Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, we talked about Lions' new head coach, Dan Campbell, and how he is fiery. But you know what? The Lions also have a new GM. who, quote, wants to be able to build this thing from scratch. What does that mean for Matthew Stafford moving forward? What does that mean for Matthew Stafford possibly moving to Denver? That's next.